on the weekend, this happened.
Last night, the United States brought the world's number one terrorist leader to justice. Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi is dead. He was the founder and leader of ISIS, the most ruthless and violent terror organization anywhere in the world. He died after running into a dead-end tunnel, whimpering and crying and screaming all the way. As our dogs chased him down, he ignited his vest, killing himself. His body was mutilated by the blast, but test results gave certain, immediate, and totally positive identification. It was him.
Now, the death of Baghdadi comes about 5 years since his Sunni jihadist movement self-declared a caliphate across parts of Syria and Iraq that, at its peak, was as large as England. Remember that? Who can forget the widespread barbarism, the video-recorded beheadings, the mass executions, the enslavement and raping of women? So, how significant is Baghdadi's death? Now, before you answer that, let's put all this in some context. Remember the death of the infamous Jordanian thug known as Abdu Masab al-Zarqawi in 2006.
Now Zarqawi has met his end, and this violent man will never murder again.
And yet, contrary to President Bush, Zarqawi's Sunni insurgency continued to murder and cause mayhem across Iraq and Syria. Remember the death of al-Qaeda head Osama bin Laden in 2011.
Tonight, I can report to the American people and to the world that the United States has conducted an operation that killed Osama bin Laden, the leader of al-Qaeda.
And yet, bin Laden's death hardly stopped the resurgence of the Sunni jihadists known as Islamic State on President Obama's watch. Moreover, and this is the really important question, can we really defeat the Sunni jihadists if Baghdad and Damascus, now remember, these are Iranian-backed, Shia-aligned regimes in Iraq and Syria, can we really defeat the Sunni jihadists if these regimes continue to marginalize and discriminate against the Sunnis? Jessica Stern is a research professor at Boston University's Pardee School of Global Studies. She's co-author of ISIS, The State of Terror. Jessica, welcome to ABC Radio.
Thank you for having me.
Now, Baghdadi not only ran Islamic State inside Iraq and Syria, but ISIS became synonymous with global terror. So the question here is, to what extent does his death lessen the threat from ISIS and the ideology it represents?
Well, I think it is important. It's not going to defeat the ideology to defeat the man, and it's not even going to defeat that one group to kill that one leader. But it is important because Baghdadi, who declared himself the caliph, he's a descendant of the prophet. He had the right pedigree for the position he grabbed, in the sense that he was a scholar of Islam and a descendant of the Prophet Muhammad, and created this a terrorist group that eventually became a proto-state and a military and a very, very organized, very large criminal organization. He had 8 million people in the territory he controlled. He made himself vulnerable by creating a proto-state. And perhaps that's why al-Qaeda didn't attempt to establish the caliphate as quickly as Baghdadi did.
Well, you've said in the New York Times this week that Baghdadi was more evil than Osama bin Laden. How so?
Yes, I do believe that. He was incredibly brutal. He followed in the footsteps of Zarqawi, his predecessor, the leader of al-Qaeda in Iraq, who also was very brutal and beheaded his, quote, enemies. But Baghdadi beheaded mostly Muslims, of course, but that was a big part of his modus operandi, beheading people and filming the beheading, burning a Jordanian pilot alive, enslaving mostly Yazidi, but not only Yazidi women, turning them into sexual slaves. He was just an incredibly cruel man. I mean, almost inhumanly cruel.
Now, in the Washington Post in 2015, you warned, quote, "It's going to take a great deal of ingenuity even to contain the Islamic State, let alone defeat it." So how do you account for the dramatic success of the coalition to defeat Islamic State?
A great deal of ingenuity. And it's been quite a few years, I think about 4 years.
Although, mind you, in your book, you quote King Abdullah of Jordan, who says the battle with ISIS will be a generational fight. It's only been 4 years.
Okay, well, I think, you know, some people were clearly hoping that we were going to be able to defeat the organization very, very quickly. That didn't happen, and we still haven't defeated it. We took out the leader. Actually, he committed suicide, obviously, and under tremendous threat.
But the caliphate has been defeated, and
the caliphate absolutely has been defeated. But this is not just a physical organization; it's also a virtual organization. It's not just the physical organization in Iraq and Syria. It also has a number of so-called provinces or wilayat. So, yes, the caliphate, the territory, is no longer held by ISIS. The territory the size of Britain that you mentioned.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about those provinces, because ISIS has morphed from a caliphate in, what, 2014 to 2016, back to an insurgency in Syria and Iraq. Can Baghdadi's death mean that the momentum continues into more splintering of the movement around the world?
Yes, I think it probably will continue splintering. I mean, one of the things, you know, I've been working on terrorism for a long time, and one of the things that I've seen over many, many years is that jihadi groups tend to splinter, and they merge, and they rename themselves, and then they join with their former enemies, and then they defeat their competitors, and it's just a non-stop movement of this kind. And even if we were to fully defeat ISIS, and we're nowhere near that, it doesn't mean we've defeated the jihadi movement.
Now, you have written, I think, with your colleague J.M. Berger in your book, quote, "You are significantly more likely to die in a car accident, especially if you fail to wear a seatbelt, than to be attacked by ISIS." Now, that was in 2015. Does that mean that we've exaggerated the threat that these Islamic State jihadists pose to the broader Western world?
You know, I think that the whole point of terrorism is to terrorize people. ISIS posed a very significant threat in Iraq and Syria. And there are still estimates between 10,000 and 15,000 fighters in the region. So we absolutely have not defeated them. But in general, the threat to Westerners is rather small, quite insignificant, in fact.
Jessica Stern is a research professor at Boston University who literally wrote the book on ISIS. It's called ISIS, The State of Terror. Jessica, in the New York Times this week, you wrote that many of the risk factors for the rise of ISIS still remain. How so?
Well, we know that jihadi groups, especially a jihadi insurgency of the kind that ISIS presented, really thrives in illiberal democracy, where there's an electoral democracy but no protection of minorities, in this case Sunnis, or minimal protection, sectarian tensions, civil war, unemployed young men or underemployed young men. Those are some of the risk factors that have been identified. And unfortunately, there are a number of countries in the region that are suffering sectarian tensions or civil war. And Syria, of course, is a major one. Iraq is beginning to heal, but there still are sectarian tensions. Afghanistan would be another place where ISIS has set up shop. Nigeria, Yemen. So terrorist groups really exploit that kind of situation.
Oh, indeed. And I think, and as I mentioned in my introduction, this is really the crux of the matter. I mean, can we really defeat these Sunni jihadists so long as Baghdad and Damascus, as I said, these are Iranian-backed Shia-aligned regimes in Iraq and Syria, they seem more interested in either destroying Sunni towns, as Assad's done, or subjugating their rebellious Sunni populations rather than reconciling differences. So to the extent that that continues, doesn't that make it harder to defeat these Sunni jihadists who clearly exploit these Sunni grievances?
They definitely exploit Sunni grievances. And yes, I have to agree that this is a situation that it's not resolved. I mean, we thought we had defeated al-Qaeda in Iraq after President Bush's surge. I bet it
was 2006-2007. Yep.
They came back, you know, changing the name. For a while there, it was called the Islamic State of Iraq. And they changed their name a few times and split with competition between leaders. This is what we often see. But basically, this is the group that we thought we defeated with the surge. And because those sectarian tensions, the Sunni disenfranchisement was still so strong, the group was able to exploit that. You know, it's a very serious issue.
Well, to prevent their reemergence, if you like, surely the governments in Syria and in Iraq have to address the kind of Sunni grievances that have been evident since the downfall of Saddam. You know, how do they go about reintegrating these displaced Sunnis back into their local communities, getting jobs, basic services? Because America has shown time and again in the post 9/11 era, Jessica, that it's not really capable of doing this.
Yeah, that's true. We are not very good at it. I don't know that any nation from
Well, the Brits weren't very good either, were they?
Yeah, I mean, I do think that nations sometimes are motivated to do the right thing, to actually help people, to try to reduce conflict, to try to reduce humanitarian crises of the kind we see in Syria. And I think we really do try to do that, but it doesn't seem that we're very good at it. We often get dragged into war fighting.
Yeah. Well, given these age-old sectarian tensions and Washington's inability to solve these problems, and with Baghdadi's death, does that mean then that President Trump's decision to move the U.S. troops out of northern Syria, is that now more than justified?
Well, I think it's the way it was done so precipitously that it is deeply upsetting American military personnel who were working with Kurdish fighters. It's not clear that we're making the situation better over the long term, but I believe we clearly were working together well with the Kurds, and to suddenly abandon our allies seems to me to have made the situation, at least for the immediate term, significantly worse, especially for the Kurds. Mm.
To be continued. Jessica, thanks so much for being on ABC Radio.
Thanks for having me.
Jessica Stern is Professor of Global Studies at Boston University and co-author of ISIS, The State of Terror.